This is the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas.
All I really needed to know, I learned from Noah's Ark. Think about it for a moment. Things like plan ahead. What? How about stay fit? Right? You never know when you're 600 years old, somebody might ask you to do something really big. Travel in pairs. The buddy system, that's right. God's original buddy system. Speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on the same boat as the cheetahs. Don't miss the boat. Thanks. And lastly, the Ark was built by amateurs. The Titanic was built by professionals. That's right. Well, good morning. My name is David Knight. I am the community curator here, which essentially means that when our lead pastor, Story Shaper, David Walston, is gone, I get to do this thing. So that's funny. That's the reaction they normally give me. Do you guys realize that there is a flood of arcs? Yeah, there's a flood of arcs. For example, there's the Ark van Noack in the Netherlands. This is a full-sized Ark model that actually floats. Cost $1.3 million to build and weighs 3,000 tons. Yeah. Now, in Hong Kong, you can visit Noah's Ark Park and Resort. But you might want to do it soon, since its Christian benefactors are currently on trial facing bribery and corruption charges. There's that. In Frostburg, Maryland, Pastor Richard Green of the Church of the Brethren has been building God's Ark of Safety since 1974 after a series of visions that inspired him to build Noah's Ark next to an interstate. He's got a ways to go. In Williamstown, Kentucky, a group called Answers in Genesis wants to build the Ark Encounter. It's a $73 million theme park with a full-scale ark and a zoo. There's a two-thirds size replica of the ark standing in Florenceville, New Brunswick, complete with wire angel on the front. Last year, Cornerstone Church in San Antonio built a $5 million ark complete with animatronic animals. We're not doing that here. And then lastly, 2014 will see the release of the major motion picture Noah, which you just saw the trailer for, starring Russell Crowe, costing $130 million to make. There's a lot of arcs out there. So it brings up the question, what is our fascination with arcs? You know, I didn't grow up in like a Christian home, but I remember as a kid going into homes or to churches or whatever, and you'd see parents had painted Noah's Ark on their children's walls, right? And it's always the, you know, the happy animals and the rainbow. I think we're drawn to arcs because we naturally fear the destructive power of a flood, right? We that thought of being caught up in the depth and struggling for air, the thought of falling further and further into the deep, it's scary. And so we desperately want a place of refuge and security. And over, the Bible uses water imagery, right? And sometimes it's literal and physical. Other times it's spiritual or allegorical. When we're overwhelmed, what do we say? We're swamped, right? We talk about drowning in debt, some of us more than others. Sometimes a wave of or a flood of emotions will sweep over us. Life can overwhelm us with personal and professional problems that feel like a flood of mighty waters. We feel overpowered by the difficulties rushing towards us, whether they be emotional or financial, relational, spiritual, vocational. We find ourselves gasping for breath, the waters coming up to our necks and our feet stuck in the miry deep. Flailing around in the flood, we desperately need an ark. However, the ark that we need is not a physical ark. It's not a recreation of an ark. It's not something that, you know, man is building. What we need is an ark for our spirits. Well, where can we find such an ark? Apparently, if you go down to Cornerstone and pay $5 million, you can build one. Just kidding. That's terrible. Our text this morning comes from Psalm 29. We're kind of working through the lectionary. Lectionary is simply a systematized way of working through the scriptures. And so each week you get a couple of different scriptures. The one we're on is a three-year cycle. So in theory, in 3 years, you actually work through the entire Bible. This week, we've got Psalm 29. I'll read it to you. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone shouts, glory! The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. It's a majestic hymn in praise of the Lord of all creation. It does, however, have a particular focus on the destructive power of a storm, thus the boat imagery for this morning. And I've been thinking about it all week, and honestly, this has been one of those weeks Dave talks about all the time where whatever he's working on for Sunday morning is going to repeatedly be repeated to him throughout the week, and he's going to have to learn this. So a lot of this I've been learning this week, and so hopefully you'll learn along with me this morning. Well, I think the first step in finding our security and finding our safety is acknowledging that there are storms around us. And storms seem to threaten our very existence. And our first step in finding the safety and security that we so desperately need in the ark is a trust and acknowledgement of who our carrier is. We trust our carrier. And in this case, the opening line of our psalm is a prayer. It's an exaltation towards the God who has total control. He is our carrier. Not only does he command the waves that we ride on, he holds together the vessel that we ride in. He is the vessel that we ride in. We can find our peace and our strength in him. Psalm 46 tells us that God is our refuge and our strength. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble and surge. How? Well, if you keep reading Psalm 46, you'll find out later that there's one of our favorite phrases around here. Be still and know that I am God. However, our ark comes with companions. This is not just a solitary adventure that we're on. We're on a communal journey. We're in this together. And Frederick Buechner compares the Christian church to Noah's Ark. He points out that it's filled with all kinds of creatures. The predators and the prey. The wild and the tame. The sleek and beautiful ones. And the ones that are ugly as sin. Continuing on, he says, there's backbiting, just like everywhere else. There's a pecking order. It's a regular menagerie in there, and sometimes it smells to high heaven. But even at its worst, there's at least one thing that makes it bearable inside this ark. The fact that there is a storm raging outside with wild winds and terrible waves. At its best, concludes Buechner, the church provides shelter from the blast. A sense of somehow heading in the right direction in spite of everything. A ship to keep afloat, and like a beacon in the dark, the hope of finding safe harbor at last. Ship imagery has been used for centuries in the church. And we've been using it a lot around here lately, right? We've been talking about, you know, rowing your boat, putting your oar in the water. And the point is, we are all in this together. An ark for our spirits can never be an individual pursuit. You're so much better if you're traveling with companions, right? If you have that around you, if you're just out in a raging storm in a rowboat by yourself, what's going to happen to you? This ark requires the participation of everyone in the church. Everyone, a group of people who share the hope of finding safe harbor at last. We all play our part in keeping things moving, just like Dan was talking about earlier. You know, that's part of the idea behind the preview Sundays. You know, we want you to be involved in what's going on here. We want you to be a part of this ship. There's one part, though, that none of us get to play. That of the captain. So then you ask the question, well, who is ultimately at the helm of this ship? Who is there to make sure that we head in the right direction amidst the raging storm? Anybody want to take a guess? Jesus, there you go. Squirrel. Jesus is the captain of our ship. He's the one who keeps us headed in the right direction. He's the one who keeps our bearing straight. Well, how do we know we can trust this captain? How can we know that he can handle the ravages of the storm that's swirling around us? One of the other lectionary texts that we get this morning is that of the baptism of Jesus. It's found in Matthew 3, 13 to 17. When Jesus emerges from the water, out of the depths, the heavens open up, and God says, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." This same Jesus whom God is well pleased with goes on to calm a storm, right? The disciples are freaking out. And what does he say to calm the storm? "Be still." And it calms. I think he's the captain who can be trusted. Additionally, he sits, as God does, enthroned over the flood, enthroned as king forever. So as we face the challenges of life, we can be helped by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the one with whom God is well pleased. He offers us strength and inspiration, as well as a peace that goes far beyond what anything that the world can give us. Knowing that Christ is in control allows us to turn our eyes back to God. And it's like the rainbow. You know, the promise of Noah at the end, the rainbow. Rainbows are full circles. And so the rainbow that started with trusting in God moves all the way through and brings us back around to trusting in God. We can trust him because he is in control of the floodwaters. And the closing line of our psalm is, "The Lord blesses them with peace." So in the end, this psalm that shook the foundations of the earth, a psalm that caused the mountains to tremble, a psalm that split oaks and caused us to plug our ears and cover our eyes from the noise and the brightness of it all, this very psalm ends in peace. But this is not just some calm after the storm. This isn't the moment when suddenly the sun peeks out and the only sound you hear is the dripping water from leaves. The last Hebrew word of Psalm 29 is shalom. It's not just peace and quiet, but rather peace that passes all understanding. It's the inner peace you get when you know that all is right with the world. We've talked about shalom here a lot. Completeness, wholeness, a sense that all is exactly as it should be. That's peace. That's shalom. And where do we find this peace? Where can we turn in the midst of the storms of this life for comfort and safety? We turn to God. We turn to he who rules over the floodwaters. In him, we find wholeness. In him, we find shalom. I mentioned earlier Psalm 46, particularly 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And we've done progressional prayer with it before. You know, where you move through it, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be." And in just a moment, I'd like to do that again. We're going to have a video that's going to come up and help us with that. But what I want you all to do, first of all, is get yourself in a comfortable position. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath in. Let it out. Another deep breath in. Let it out. You feel relaxed? I don't know what your week has been like. I don't know what you're coming here from. But if it's anything like mine, things have been crazy. And I haven't had a chance to find the shalom this week. I haven't had a chance to just be still in the Lord. So in just a moment, video is going to come up on the screen. You can open your eyes so you can watch it if you need to. And you're going to get the chance to pray through this prayer consecutively 5 times in diminishing sentences. Again, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am, et cetera, et cetera. As it rolls through the video, if you feel like saying it out loud, go for it. If you feel like saying it quietly to yourself, go for it. The point is, I want you to take this time, take these next few moments to really reflect on our strength and our comfort in the Lord. Rest in His presence. Rest in His waves of mercy and waves of grace. Most importantly, rest in His shalom. I want to thank each of you for being here with us this morning. Big thank you to Sivion and DJ Drew for coming out. I love that this is Crosspoint, where anything can happen, and probably will. We get the chance to experience all sorts of new art forms. So my friends, this morning, go forth in the knowledge that the Lord does give strength to you, His people, and blesses you with peace. In the days ahead, share strength and give peace through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks so much. See you guys next week. Don't forget Preview Sundays.
This has been the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas. For more information about our church, visit www.crosspoint.com.